Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Negler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog this evening is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish of the Packers Lounge. Also joining us on our live blog as our guest panelist this evening is Monty McMahon. You know Monty from his excellent work over at Total Packers. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Well, no Frank Zombo yet. He's larrying Packer transplants. But joining us later tonight will be Viking beat writer Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune of Minneapolis. Chip will help us break down the big Sunday night showdown with the Minnesota Vikings suck. But right now, joining us live, not on the line,
is Frank Zombo, currently and still pulling a Larrabee. Now, I need Brian to throw up a poll, if you will.
Here we go.
They're on the live blog.
Zombo.
If
that would have been Zombo,
that would have been what he looked like tonight if he had called. Brian, I want you to throw up a poll asking people, if Zombo calls, should we answer the phone? Especially since this is the second time he's dissed us. So throw that up there. I'd love to see what people have to say. Because I get the feeling he'll call at like 9:15 for a live appearance that was set for 9 o'clock.
I thought he was going to call in the intro. I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Oh, here, look, on my new iPad.
Don't do it!
No, I'm just saying. Okay, I just got this. I'm developing the Times Square Ball app for Android and iPhone. Seriously, it's done. Everybody's going to have to download it. I'm going to annoy everyone on the site about it. But because I'm developing that, I got this iPad, and I've got the live blog finally in front of me, and I can like actually answer people's stuff. It's really cool. Jamie, we need to get Jamie one for Game Day Live because she can sit here and moderate, and you literally just like push. Oh, yeah, I don't like that person. It's awesome.
All right, let's talk Packers. I don't want to talk about your free freaking iPad. Let's dive right into it with the good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday's loss, overtime loss to the Dolphins.
We got the good. We got Greg Jennings.
Hey, remember him?
BJ Raji.
Double teamed on every play, standing his ground.
Tremont, my man Williams.
It's an interception.
We got the bad. We got Brian Beluga.
If you're to believe Dan Fouts, his name is Beluga. I have to amend this. I should not have put Brian Beluga in the bad category.
Charlie Peppra.
Really? Your idea is to put Charlie Peppra on Brandon Marshall? Really?
Tim, almost on the show, Mass Day.
I feel really bad now because Tim was supposed to be on the show, and then we didn't hear from him, and then Zombo got booked, and then I told Tim, sorry, we booked Zombo, and now Zombo didn't show up, and Tim's sitting at home watching going, God,
I'm sure he's sitting at home watching now. And we got the ugly. We've got our coach, the one and only, Mike McCarthy.
That's 2 weeks in a row. McCarthy's in the ugly. I'm sensing a trend here. I'm sensing a trend for a coach that is 1-11.
Yikes.
In games decided by 4 points or less. 4 points or less, 1-11. What does that tell you?
Nothing good.
Clutch and clutcher. McCarthy and Rodgers.
I was liking 3-1. Seriously.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is possibly the best analysis you will hear all year. I was liking 3-1.
You know, when I was so happy about 3-1, now everyone understands why. Right? There you go.
Oh, dear. Yeah, 3-1 was great. You know what's not great? The play of our starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I saw that blog post. What are you trying to do, okay? I don't need Cheesehead TV shut down by the NFL because you piss off QB1, okay?
I'm not going to piss off anybody.
Look,
I'm calling it like I see it.
You need to calm down. No, seriously.
Oh,
okay.
Dear.
Oh, okay. Don't mess up the opportunities for Cheesehead TV because of your ranting and raving.
Oh, see, and that's the thing. I'm not even ranting and raving. What I love is that within moments of my posting that blog post this afternoon, and if you haven't checked it out, I wrote about Rodgers' regression so far in the last 2.5 games. Moments after posting that, I received 2 messages on Twitter back to back. One, the first one was, great article. The second one was, give me a break. So, you know, Packer fans apparently divided.
There you go.
On the idea slash subject that Aaron Rodgers has regressed. Like I said in the article, it's pretty clear that he's reverted back to bad habits. He's holding on to the ball too long. He's not trusting his protection. And yes, the edges are a little soft, but they're not nearly as bad as he seems to think they are. The guy's taking off after 2 seconds in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bob McGinn timed him at one point in like 2.8 seconds after coming
2.8 seconds
out from under center. I mean, that's not even enough time to get into your drop.
He definitely is a different player. Last week, he was a different player than he even was at Washington.
I mean, it's just he's got. I understand that it's difficult when you see the edges collapsing, but there are plays to be made. There are throws to be made. You go back, set your feet, make your reads, and throw it, or throw it away. You don't take a sack, especially at the end of the half. You're driving for points, and I think we have a video here.
Oh, yeah.
Rodgers, this is on the second down, and he's got, you see that? That's a three-step drop. He needs to get rid of the ball, and I know people want to blame Corey Hall for the cut block, but Corey Hall did his job. He stopped the end. Right there, Kuhn is wide open. Throw the ball. And if you're afraid of something happening if you throw it to Kuhn, throw it at his feet. It's second and two. And you're in field goal range. You cannot take that sack.
Yeah, it's really just knowing where you are. That's the hard part. It's like sometimes you can do that. But not in that situation. Well, yeah.
Absolutely not in that situation. Of course, then on the next play, there's a false start. And the next play, they're out. And then it's, you know, they don't get any points, and then Miami marches down and gets 3 points right before the half. Gee, you think that that swing possibly might have had some say in the outcome of the game? Possibly.
You know, Bama Cheesehead says we can't seem to run a screen. It's true, but we can run a screen. But well, not when you throw it to John Kuhn.
Oh, don't get me started. Here's the thing. Yeah, we saw two bad screens, one to Kuhn and one to Jackson. At least Jackson caught his first bad screen. And then we saw a great screen to Jackson on the drive to tie it up there at the end. But yeah, what is that whole thing? And we'll talk a little bit more. Interestingly enough, Chip Scoggins, who will join us in the next segment, hopefully, he and the guys at the Star Tribune were talking about this very thing yesterday, where just these NFL coaches get so wrapped up in their spreadsheets and their, you know, their tendencies and their computer printouts. And they just don't see the bigger picture. They don't see the obvious stuff right in front of their face, i.e., you don't run John Kuhn on a stretch play on third and two, or you don't run a screen play to John Kuhn. It's just ridiculous. Like, oh, they'll never expect a screen to John Kuhn. Yeah, there's a reason they won't expect it.
Because they're not worried about it.
They're not worried about it, nor should they be. So, you know, and that I think that's...
I think we need less trickery on the offense, more trickery on the defense.
That's probably true. I can get behind that. Although, like I wrote earlier this week, I think Dom Capers is doing a fantastic job the last 2 weeks. I mean, when you hold teams to 13 and 20 points respectively in regulation,
yeah,
with the offense that the Packers supposedly have,
I'll agree with that. But you have the only thing is though, you're right. But you have to he's only doing a good job considering the injuries.
No, that's true.
That's all. He's not necessarily – you have to put the injuries in, and that's what makes him doing a great job. Because really good teams that weren't this injured on the defense,
right.
They would have put it away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Pittsburgh Steelers put these last two games away. It's over. We had way too many chances to – we've had way too many chances to win ball games.
And that comes down to coaching at the end, and that comes down to Mike McCarthy. But we'll get into that a little bit later. It's just more than anything, they just need and I know we've read about this a lot this week, and only because it's true. They need to get back to the roots of the West Coast offense. And I know some people were saying how upset they were that, you know, why would they go back to try and throw long balls? Like they're going back to the deeper stuff when last year was essentially saved by going back to the West Coast offense. And I think it comes to Mike McCarthy thinking, okay, you know, we've got our tackles now. I'm going to throw out these wide, you know, the spread formations, and I'm going to throw it down the yard like I wanted to last year. Well, it's not happening.
Right.
It's not working. You still have problems on the edges protecting the quarterback. You still got a quarterback who's holding the ball too long, waiting for those deep routes to open up. That's the thing. You can play long ball all you want, but you've got to have a quarterback who knows, okay, it's not there. I'm going to check it down.
Yeah.
And right now, Rodgers is just not doing that.
And at the end of the day, the bullets in the gun are for three-step drops. And if you can't do a three-step drop, get the F out of the game. Seriously. Seriously.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. What was interesting is that there were some signs of life in the running game. I know people want to, you know, bash on Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn.
I got nothing for love but love for Brandon Jackson.
But there were signs. I mean, they started actually, you know, moving the pile a little bit, making some yardage. They ran weak side against the 3-4, which is a classic way to run the ball, and you saw some good stuff. And I know people were upset that they didn't trade for Marshawn Lynch, and the trading deadline came and went today, and they didn't make a trade for, I guess, you know, the names were Marion Barber or Willis McGahee were thrown out. But that was just never going to happen.
No.
I mean, here's the thing, people, and I think it was Bill Barnwell from Football Outsiders who threw this up earlier this week. Brandon Jackson and company have a higher average per game running the football than Ryan Grant and company did last year through six games.
Well, yeah, but all you have to do is look at the attempts and see why that's so skewed. I mean,
Well, they're about the same. I mean, look at, I mean, not
no.
Few more for Grant. A few more.
A lot more. At least 10 more a game. How do you have a running back in this league? Seriously. If you don't give your, if you want to talk about a spreadsheet stat, you know what a really good one is besides run-pass ratio?
What's that?
No, the ones that matter. Oh, and I lost a feed. the ones that matter, right?
Right. It's the little things.
I had to turn that feedback on. besides run-pass ratio is how many times your star running back gets the ball. Because in the NFL, once they get the ball a certain time, they start turning stuff up. Hello,
yep.
Even Edgar Bennett, Dorsey Levens, Amon Green. Wear him down. Third and fourth quarter, boom, we got 100 yards. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's how Holmgren was doing it. Absolutely. That's very true. You know, especially, and that's the other thing that no one wants to talk about. You know, the Packers offense, and even when Holmgren was here, traditionally, you pass to get the lead, and then you run the ball. And that's how a lot of Holmgren's teams, you know, churned out yardage in third and fourth quarters when they had the lead.
But very rarely do you just, you only throw it down the field when you have man-to-man matchups you know you can win.
Yeah.
You don't throw it down the field just because you feel like it.
Yeah. And you know,
you have to have the right looks. Otherwise, you're dink and dunking.
We know how you love to dink and dunk.
Who doesn't, though?
it's really
the only strategy that consistently works on Madden.
And we know, as Jersey Owl will tell you, Madden is the NFL.
It's true, though. It is like one of the few strategies that no matter what year you're playing Madden, if you just dink and dunk it, you can totally win the game.
All right, let's turn it around and go to the defensive side of the ball. And the thing that was killing me, and I understand what you're saying about, you know, the fact that they didn't have the Capers only is doing a good job because of the injuries. The biggest problem I had with Capers on Sunday was, and like I wrote, I thought he's doing a fantastic job the last 2 weeks. If there's a nit to pick, if you know that Miami, it was very apparent after the first drive, the first couple drives, that Miami was going to go to max protect, run two or three guys out in the pattern, and that was it. That was it.
Dude, Brandon Marshall had a big red target. Like, he was sponsored by Target, okay? And everybody knew that's where they were going to throw it to. How come the Packers did not? How come?
Oh, there we go. Well, that's the thing. Why are you running so much zone behind a max protect? Like, if you know you're banging your head against the wall, you know, running zone behind a quarterback who has all day, you know, they're going to find the holes. They always will. They always have. They always will. If you've got Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson, man up.
Well, man up and give them safety help. Make him make that third guy. Make that third guy be the guy. Make their James Jones or their Jordy Nelson beat you.
Do what the other teams are doing to the Packers. Man up underneath, too deep, you know, with the safeties, and you never have a Charlie Peppra trying to man up against you know, Brandon Marshall. That's absurd.
You know the other question I have on defense? How come A.J. Hawk is always 1 yard from the first down marker? Seriously. The guy catches it in the middle, whoever it is, the running back, the wide receiver in the flat, and there he is, 1 yard from the first down marker, and there he is whiffing on the tackle. Thank you, A.J. Hawk.
Well, he doesn't necessarily whiff on the tackle. He'll grab onto the guy, but then he'll be dragged past the first down.
Either way, my point is that they get a first down.
Yeah, it's true. We shouldn't talk too much junk about AJ Hawk because his wife will be joining Brian Caravu on Friday morning, I believe,
maybe,
on Real Bird Central.
Maybe.
Although, perhaps not after viewing this program.
Nope.
Oh, Brian can ask her about that whole putting their house up for sale thing. Or maybe not.
Yikes.
Well, you know, that was going around when the whole, you know, Hawk was going to be traded thing was going on the week before Buffalo.
Oh, Packer HQs. They're coming to Hawk's rescue. You know what? I haven't worn my AJ Hawk jersey all season. There's a reason for that. So he can have his 49 tackles. But all of those, I would say half of those, resulted in first downs.
And 75% of statistics are made up on the spot.
There you go. And that one I just made up.
That's my point.
Yeah, but, you can actually raise the percentage for me, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Like 98? 99.7.
As much as the server stays up on Cheesehead TV, that's what you can rate for me.
That is a low percentage.
So, do you have any answers for that? Do you have any answers for the defense?
For what? For the defense?
I don't know. I
got some answers for you. It's called the Cavalry. It's called Steve Weiss from NFL.com reporting today that Clay Matthews is definitely playing on Sunday. All right? It's that possibility of getting Ryan Pickett and Mike Neal back.
Ooh, that's
those
exciting.
Are huge. Those are huge.
You know what I was going to do? I was going to pull audio from our show, okay, where we listed seven people, right, who were going to be, like, the reason we watched the Packers this year.
They're all injured.
Almost.
Oh, dear.
And I almost was like, let me just pull the audio and be like, yeah, we're going to love watching JerMichael Finley and, you know.
Matthews.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, no. No, don't ever do that. That's no good.
You liked it.
You know, I want to echo something that was just said on the live vlog here. Bishop has really surprised me.
Oh, yeah.
The play of Desmond Bishop.
Oh, yeah. He had some good plays.
I thought for sure he would be exposed. Now, there's this, which is a problem, is that the last two times he's been truly exposed in the passing game, it came against Brett Favre.
True, but there's no difference between him getting exposed in the passing game and any other linebacker on our team. It's not like there's another linebacker on our team that doesn't get exposed in the middle of the field.
I want to answer something our good friend Dale Z just put up on the live blog regarding Mike Neal being possibly the next Justin Harrell. I will only point out that Mike Neal was never injured in college. I'm not quite sure, but I think he never missed a game at Purdue. So someone can check on that, but I don't think he's the second coming of Justin Harrell. I think he's had some very bad luck. But who knows? It could be true. He could be snake bit now that he's in the pros. Who knows? All I know is the guy is unbelievable when he gets in, and the sky is the limit. So, you know, the cavalry is somewhat, hopefully, in effect for this game on Sunday, which I will be at. I can't even fathom the fact that I'm going to be at this game.
The funny thing is, though, of all that cavalry coming in,
right,
defensive line is not necessarily where
the issues are.
The holes have been.
Well, it kind of... It was a problem because Raji had to play so many snaps.
Well, the pass rush, but I mean, if you only send three or four guys.
Wait, you know who's coming? You know who's coming? Play the song.
Oh, yeah.
Play the song. This is who's coming, ladies and gentlemen. This is who's coming. That's right. That's right. Proof is coming soon. That's right. Al Harris. Say it with me. Your Green Bay Packer Nickelback on Sunday night. Can you believe it? Al Harris as your Nickelback? Just think about that. Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, and Al Harris together again. That is crazy.
That's exciting.
That is crazy.
You know what? I said it earlier, but not on the show.
What's that?
I like that better than Sam Shields back there.
Yeah, I do too. And I think Sam Shields has played well.
I also, you know what I like and I think is dangerous is playing Charles Woodson as a nickel. I think that's how you scheme, that's how you spy, that's how you do all the things you want to do. It's not a blow because he's not really the nickelback.
No,
he's just the dude on your best or second, whoever you're trying to beat him with at that moment,
right.
He's going to take that guy.
He'll just do it.
And I like him on a tight end way better than
they did that a lot last year. They put him on Shanko. Whatever his name is.
Jungle.
They put him on the tight end quite a bit.
He's got to step it up, though. He's definitely got to step it up.
He does. He had another just penalty-riddled, ridiculous, getting beat by Brandon Marshall game. Come on now. I don't want to see any more of that. He had a great game against Detroit, and then Last couple games. I mean, he was.
There's a lot of whining. There's a lot of whining on our leaders. There's a lot of whining on penalties. I feel like from Aaron Rodgers to Charles Woodson. Yep. That one play, he's got it. And let's agree with that.
Can
we talk for 2 seconds about
absolutely
the worst? One of the worst play calls, I think, that totally ruins the NFL as an experience, as a fan experience.
What's that?
Because it really felt like it was a play that was done. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going. Francois over the center.
Oh, the ref's call. Like
okay.
Officiating call.
I get that it's the rule, right?
Right.
But technically, if you're only allowed to, if the upstairs is only allowed to review at 2 minutes, right?
Right.
And the coaches get the challenge.
Right.
Somebody reviewed the play to see that Francois was over the center. So if they reviewed the play.
That wasn't the official word from the
ref. Yeah, right. You know what happened, okay? NFL headquarters, where Mike Pereira used to be, but now it's a different dude. Yeah, I don't
Carl
know who it is.
Carl Johnson.
Whatever. Calls down to dude on Skype. And he's like, yo, Francois was over the center. We got to crack down on this right now. It was in the middle of a TV cut to commercial.
Me? Yeah, well, that's what. And
seriously,
that was
you come back.
That's what McCarthy went off on, and I totally agreed. It was like
kills
the timing,
the game, man.
The timing of the call was suspect. But here's the thing. I just think the rule is ridiculous. I totally understand wanting to protect the center, the long snapper, because he does have to have his head down much longer than a center from scrimmage. But here's what I don't get is if you're the Packers, why do you line up head up on the center? Just offset him. What tactical advantage? What major, like, catastrophe.
But don't
you
just
averting?
Think it was a mistake on Francois' part?
I don't know. I think it's a mistake on Slocum and McCarthy's part. Why do you
we'll have
teach
to talk
them,
to Brian about that.
Why do you teach them to line up that way? Why on freaking earth? What purpose are you serving? Offset just by half a yard, left or right. What on earth are you, what purpose are you serving?
But if you're the NFL competition committee, what purpose are you serving by having the Packers beat them? Okay, so the whole point of the game is we beat you on third down.
We stopped you.
And then that is the reason they get the ball back? That's just, I mean, even if it would have happened to us, I would still be talking about it right now.
No, and that's the thing.
Because it's
it's
terrible.
Teams use it quite a bit. The Packers have used it before. McCarthy said as much. But to what end? Just offset the guy. Like, to me, that's just like, a case of outthinking yourself. Like, oh, we've got him lined up on the center, but he's only a yard and a half off, so he won't get called. Just offset him, and you'll never get called. That's the little tactical crap, the mistakes that lead to losses. And it directly contributed to the loss on Sunday. All right, we need to go. We're due for a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune about this big matchup with the Vikings on Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. Chip, how are you tonight, buddy?
Great. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Not a problem. Let's dive right into it. Before we get to the whole big matchup on Sunday night, I think Packer fans, a lot of them on the live blog anyway, were glued to the information or non-information, as it were, that was coming out of Winter Park today regarding Brett Favre's meeting with the NFL. Have you got anything on that? Have you heard anything? What's the latest there?
Yeah, we know it did take place today. He arrived at Winter Park, their facility, around 9 a.m. At around 4 p.m., his agent, Buzz Cook, was seen driving the car that Favre arrived in this morning out. So presumably, you have to think that the meeting took place there at Winter Park. There's some question whether they would do it offside at a hotel or someplace else, but I have to think it happened there. The NFL said they're not going to comment on it. Not sure how long it lasted, but definitely met with him today, and we'll see where it goes from here. It sounds like Jen Sterger has not talked to him. There have been different reports whether she's going to cooperate or not cooperate with the NFL. So I have to think, yeah, if she's not willing to talk to them or cooperate, I don't know how much further this goes. The league did meet with the Jets, and now they've met with Favre, so we'll see kind of what the next step in this process is.
All right, with that out of the way, let's talk some football. Looking at your video yesterday with
thankfully.
Yeah, right? Looking at your video with Judd yesterday, okay, first of all, we'll set aside the fact that the title of the video is "The Vikings are set to win the NFC North."
Come on. Are you kidding me? What?
All right. Well, we'll set that aside.
What?
All right, defend yourself there.
Yeah, we did that for you. I look at this division, and boy, I think every team has major flaws. The Vikings, obviously, with their offense right now, regardless of how many star players they have on it, it's just not clicking right now. Clearly, Favre's elbow injury is a major problem. I think that's contributing to it in a big way, and their offensive line just hasn't played very well, to be honest with you. I look at the Bears. I thought their start was smoke and mirrors. They probably should have lost that Detroit game right off the bat. Their offensive line is a mess. Their offense in general is a mess. And I think with the Packers, I still think they're a good team, but I wonder how you overcome those injuries. I mean, when you lose your running back and right off the bat, I thought that was going to be trouble for them because it made them one-dimensional, and then you start piling up these other injuries. That's tough to overcome. So I look at it as bad as the Vikings have looked offensively to start the season, and 2-3, I still think when you get to the end of the season, I think they're going to win the division.
Oh.
Corey's so upset.
I'm going to go vomit now.
You know, the one thing I did take away from a couple of the articles and the video especially, and we talked about it in the first segment, I totally agree, especially on offense, that they are a bit, just like the Packers, victims of a bit of paralysis by analysis. Like, I think the example that somebody gave on the video was, taking Randy Moss off in certain packages because, you got to put Greg Lewis in there because he knows it. But then you're taking Randy Moss off the field. Do you think we'll see a whole lot more of Moss on Sunday night? I mean, I know, he had the big touchdown against the Jets, and he had a couple catches, last week against the Cowboys. But do you think this is the venue, this is the time that they'd really try and showcase him?
Well, I think they're trying to showcase him. It's just him getting familiar with this offense. I mean, really, the Jets game, he only had three practices. Didn't really know but a handful of plays, and that's why you didn't see him in the four-minute or two-minute offense. And going back to Sunday against the Cowboys, he wasn't out there in the two-minute. And that's the last thing to come, and because you're hurrying up, you're getting plays off at rapid pace, and it's tough for a guy who's still trying to pick up the verbiage and the different terminology and his assignments to be out there. He doesn't want to, as Randy said, he doesn't want to get someone killed, or he doesn't want to have a false start or whatever. So I think each week you'll see a little bit more of him. I think you'll see more of him involved in the game plan. Obviously, with his history with Green Bay, he's going to want to have a big game. But to say he's going to make sizable leaps from where he was the first couple weeks, I don't know. I think it's just going to be a season-long process with him, and I think 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, that's when you're going to see this offense start to click, because it's just going to take time. You can't plug in a player of his caliber and automatically think it's just going to start firing away and clicking on all cylinders. So I think it's just going to be a gradual process with him.
Switching over to the defense for a little bit, earlier in the year it looked like maybe just the first couple games, it looked like maybe the teams were able to run the ball on the Vikings, which hasn't been the norm, obviously, in the last, 5 or 6 years. But they seem to have turned that around. Is that just, better play by the defensive line? Is that a schematic change that Frazier has made? Or what's going on there?
Yeah, you looked at it, and going into Sunday's game, they were ranked 14th in the NFL in run defense, and that's just completely uncharacteristic of them. I mean, they've led it. They had a streak where they led the NFL in run defense 3 straight years. Talking to those guys, it sounds like a lot of it was gap issues, guys getting out of the gap. And you got to credit the other team, too. I mean, the Jets hit them with a couple big plays, and they're a physical running team, so you have to credit them, too. They had a good scheme. But I think over the course of the season, this will still be a strong run defense. And traditionally, last however many years, the pass defense, the secondary has been the weakest spot. And you look at them now, they lost Cedric Griffin to another ACL injury, who's probably their second-best quarterback behind Antoine Winfield, so he's going to be out. Chris Cook, the rookie, who they're very high on and had an impressive camp, he suffered a torn meniscus in the preseason, missed the first two games, came back for a game, and then he suffered a torn meniscus in his other knee, so he's missed the past two games. He will be available Sunday, so I got to think he'll be a starter. He's a big physical corner, something they really don't have at the cornerback spot. They have smaller guys, so the secondary is still the iffy point for them, and they don't have a lot of depth there at corner. So run defense, I think they're still going to be stout, and I think teams are still going to try to hurt them through the air.
You know, you mentioned the secondary there. How has Antoine Winfield looked? I mean, for years he's really locked down whoever the number one receiver was for the Packers. And I know at the end of last year he was having some issues. He came off injury, obviously. You know, he had a bad game against the Bears, whatnot, on national television at the end of the year. How has he looked so far this year? Because I haven't really had a chance to check out too many Vikings games.
Yeah, Aaron, he's back from that foot injury. And anyone who saw the Vikings last half of the season last year, you could tell it wasn't the same Pro Bowl Antoine Winfield. He just wasn't the same player. He couldn't run. He had his best game Sunday against the Cowboys than I've seen in a long time. Was, you know, tough against the run. Somebody made a pass on him. He was getting him down to the ground quickly. So he's back 100% from that injury, and he gives him another dimension, a physical corner. He's not the biggest guy, but he might be the best tackling corner in the NFL. And so that's clearly a bonus for their secondary, because the way he played last year, even when he was on the field, they pretty much limited him to the nickel role because he wasn't capable of playing an entire game, particularly on the outside against the big receivers where he had to run. They had to put him on the inside and hope he could just use his physical skills to tackle against the run.
And because we like to cover all three phases of the game, because we're complete here, we go all the way. Looking at the special teams for the Vikings, I mean, obviously you have Percy Harvin with a huge play at the start of the second half against the Cowboys. Is that something that's been just kind of waiting to happen? Have they been getting good returns but just not busting one? Or did that kind of come out of the blue?
No, you go back to last year, and he returned two kickoffs for touchdowns. He became a Pro Bowl kick returner. I would say the last 5 or 6 weeks, teams basically didn't kick the ball to him. They either popped it up real high, kicked it, they ran into some really good kickers who could force touchbacks every time. Just basically kicked away and eliminated him. Coming into this year, he had the migraines, then he had the hip injury. Just didn't look like the same guy returning the ball, didn't have that same explosiveness. About 2 weeks ago, really against the Jets, he almost popped a couple of them. He said that's the first time he felt that he had his explosiveness back, and you could see it. And then obviously the one he returned against Dallas, that he's a unique kick returner in that a lot of guys will run for the sideline or do a lot of cutbacks and different things like that. Percy, he catches the ball and he's running as fast as he can straight down the field. There's no dancing around back there at all. He's going to hit it up there as hard as he can. He takes some wicked shots, some nasty blows from guys because of it, but that's just his style. And if he gets a crease, he can take it the whole way, and that's what he did. And you mentioned special teams. Their coverage units are a lot better than they have been in recent years. A couple years ago, they were, frankly, they were awful. They gave up a bunch of return touchdowns. But they've shored up that area. And then Chris Cooley, I wrote about him today, is really kicking the ball well as their punter. They've had him change his style. He's, instead of booming it, he's always had a big leg. He's focused more on hang time and placement. And he ranks, I think it was 25th in the league in average, in gross average, but fourth in net average. So he's hanging the ball up and either forcing fair catches or allowing his cover guys to get down there. So he's off to a good start. So really, this is the best their special teams have played in several years.
And real finally, I mean, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Thanks so much for jumping on board. What do you see happening Sunday night? I mean, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got an idea and a prediction. How do you see Sunday night playing out?
Well, I do think Rodgers will have some success throwing the ball to him, but it comes down to what the Vikings did last year against them and what they did against Dallas. If the Packers line cannot control the pass rush with Jared Allen and Ray Edwards off the edges, I think it's going to be hard for them because they're one-dimensional. They're not going to be able to run the ball on them, so they know they're going to have to throw it. And if they can't give him time to set up, get his feet set, find his receivers, I just don't it's going to be a long day for him. And obviously Jared got on a roll and feasted on him last year, and he does that. His tend to come in bunches. I think he has only one sack this year, and people are saying, why the slow start? And teams have done different things as far as max protection, three-step drops, those type things. You saw Dallas, they threw 15 passes to the running back on Sunday because they just wanted to get the ball out quick. So the Packers absolutely have to do a better job of controlling the Vikings front four if they're going to have a chance.
Well, that sounds about right to me. Chip, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll talk to you later on in the year / the off season, and we'll talk a little bit more football.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Call me anytime.
Thanks so much. Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, Chip Scoggins, Star Tribune, all you could ever want to know about the hated enemy, the Minnesota Vikings.
No.
That got you upset, didn't it, Corey?
I just think that's ridiculous.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I don't accept that ever.
Ever?
No.
Ever?
No.
Should we call
ever?
Greg, should we call Greg Bedard
yes.
just to offset this ridiculous like mood that you're this, in?
You know, Frank Zombo, you better have a good game, okay?
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
That's all I have
He's
to say.
He's going to have the anti-cheese head.
Frank Zombo,
hey.
You better have a good game, buddy.
Tom Crabtree came on. He started
Tom
catching
Crabtree.
Passes. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to
you
say.
You know, somebody.
Can you imagine if Tremont Williams came on? He'd pick three balls off and run them all back for touchdowns in one game. That's all I got to say.
I got to take him off because, you know what, that's the first time I've ever had purple on the animation. And I think that was trying to, I think that was, I
upsetting
think like,
you?
Yeah, well, I messed up the end animation, but then I'm looking at that and then I'm like, why am I upset right now? And then I was like, I'm looking at purple. I love the color purple, but not when it's on like Cheesehead TV stuff because then,
no,
you know,
it's just making you sick, right?
And then he was like, NFC North champion Minnesota Vikings? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
All right, rant for a second. I'll call Bedard. Hold on.
Are you going to ask him if he wants to come on?
No, I'm just going to call him.
Well, don't we need it? We need him on Skype, though.
Well, he might not be on Skype. I'm just going to call his cell.
And tell him to Skype us?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
We're going to watch you do it, though.
Okay, that's fine. Because, you know, I don't know if everyone knows this, but Bedard's last, you know.
I thought he was going to, you know, he gets his dream job. And
then we're dead, dude.
Oh. What, those cheeseheads that
yeah,
I helped,
dead.
You know,
we're
I helped those guys. They can do on without me.
We're dead tomorrow. Hold on. All right.
Come on.
Let's find this
have,
compelling programming,
yeah.
which will be deleted
Waiting for
from
Bedard.
The iTunes version.
Waiting for Bedard. That kind of is the story of our website.
Yeah, kind of.
Waiting for Bedard. I mean, I think everybody will stay because they want to see if he'll answer or not.
Poor guy's probably putting his kids to bed, and I'm calling him on his cell.
But if he actually calls, I need an animation, so I'm going to go ahead and get that.
This is live, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, ooh. if we're going to have Bedard on, well, you know we need the Greg Bedard animation.
He's not going to answer.
He knows
he
you're going to try to.
He's
yeah,
like,
he's like.
He knows
oh.
it's Tuesday night. He knows we're doing the show. He's like, no, I'm not answering that.
No.
No, I can't hear it.
Yeah, everybody wants Wildy. Yeah, let's see if he's on Skype. No, he's not on Skype. He knows.
Greg, it's Aaron. Hop on Skype so we can get you on the show one last time.
Maybe we'll get him on the third segment.
Become a traitor. Okay, bye. Well.
We tried.
The guy's just too cool for us. What can he do? You know?
He's got his dream job. And
dream job in the bag. He's done with us.
Oh, let's talk about this before we go to break.
Yes, definitely. We got time. We got plenty
okay,
of time.
Here's the thing.
Ladies
we have.
Check this out.
We have two tickets, okay?
Count them. One,
free
two.
Free tickets. These aren't it. But they actually have Cheesehead TV on them. Okay? We're going to put these in the. They actually have.
Check those out.
Cheesehead
you
TV.
You can't see it.
You can't see it, but Cheesehead TV is written on there.
On the ticket.
Okay? We have to give away as a promotion, and we can't think of what the promotion is, okay?
So watch this space.
So help us.
Help us. Come up with an idea for a contest.
What's a good idea for diehard Packer fans who are coming? I was thinking you almost, because I want to give them to the person at our tweet up, by the way, October 29th.
Kettle
meet
of
up,
fish.
Kettle of fish. Be there or be square. I've got a 4G router and I can webcast from that thing and it's awesome. Okay. And so I'm thinking we're going to give them away there.
That's very cool. If you can be there. But if you don't want to leave it to chance, you can always buy the tickets, you know.
You can buy the tickets.
Promotional
you can buy tickets for code. The matinee. So these tickets are for the matinee. So we're all going, and there's a promo code. Just go on the homepage, and there's a PDF that everybody should print and put on their refrigerator so they remember. Everybody come to New York City to meet Cheesehead TV and watch Lombardi and two. How are we going to get?
More.
This is exciting. Look, our
do?
Name's on these tickets here.
That's pretty cool. Let's not give them away. Let's just keep them.
Well, I already have tickets to that show, though.
I know. We all do, but you and I do, but, you know. We're going to give them away.
Everybody's
That's
tweeting.
The whole point.
I think everybody should tweet Bedard sucks. Maybe Bedard
no,
sucks.
No, not Bedard sucks.
I want it.
He doesn't suck yet.
I'm going to tweet Bedard sucks. Yeah, these are for Lombardi. These are not for the game. Okay. Slow down.
Well, slow down, people.
Yeah, no.
Our powers are weak, old man. We're not quite that powerful yet, all right? Let's just relax here. We have tickets for the play. Corey just left a shot on an empty chair. Oh, so tweet Bedard. And people, you can't just tweet. He's not following everybody. You have to tweet to @Greg
Bedard.
@A_Bedard.
Well, this is an exciting show. Let me just tell you, okay? This is the most exciting show I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, we've got shots of empty
chairs. I just
want
to apologize and give everybody
we've
a refund.
We've got guests not calling in. We've got,
hey, we're going to have Frank Zombo. Not.
Okay, when I do the iTunes cut up, I'm doing just Chip segment because that was insightful. The rest of this, not so much.
No. Well, that's the thing. We had some knowledge dropped on us.
Knowledge dropped.
I couldn't even get through to the knowledge. You know why?
Because you were so
upset. Of the ridiculousness. The Vikings are going to be... Come on. Seriously?
Okay, well, here's the thing.
Get out of town with that
talk. After I saw the headline of that video, I thought to myself, okay, that's ridiculous. You know? And then I said, you know, come on. They've beaten... Who have they beaten? They've won two games. They've beaten the Lions, who are... Come on. The Lions. Have they won a game yet?
No, the Lions.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the Lions are good, though. I'm sorry.
I know.
The Lions are good.
I understand that. They almost beat us.
Don't
but
hate
have
them.
They won? No. They haven't won a game. And they beat, who they beat? The 1-4 Cowboys. So they've beaten, their two victories are against teams who have collectively garnered one win, right? So I was going to throw that in Chip's face. But then I got to thinking who the Packers have beaten.
Nobody.
That would be the Buffalo Bills. The Detroit Lions by 2. And the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost their QB partway through the first quarter. And who almost won the game. And we're a fourth quarter, you know, fourth down conversion away from probably maybe driving down.
Can we play all them again?
So I'm just saying, you know, as far-fetched as I thought it was when I read the headline, I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen. Wow, they're just playing to their base. But then I started thinking about it. You know what? I'm not saying it's going to happen.
No, come on.
But it could happen.
Get out of town.
The division is that terrible.
Come on. The Vikings are a ship with a bunch of old dudes on it that can't play football anymore and are the end and the twilight of their careers, except for Adrian Peterson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone on the live blog, yes, you're right. They beat the Rams. I'm sorry. They put up like 44 points or something against the Rams. I totally forgot about that game. I wiped it from my memory. You're right. They beat... The Rams.
Everybody's really trying to get.
So
Greg
wait,
Bedard
I'm sorry.
Just to stop. Everybody's really trying to get Greg.
As
Bedard
well,
to
they should. As well, they should. I don't think he's online at the moment, but keep trying. But here's the thing. So okay, I'm sorry. You're right. All right, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. The Vikings have beaten two teams who have collectively garnered two victories. One apiece.
I mean, Brett Favre.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Brett Favre has looked terrible. He's looked really brilliant on like three plays.
Otherwise,
he's looked brilliant.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
You'll have
the
that moment, and then they show that highlight, and that's the only thing they show.
They had a beautiful rainbow shot to Moss against the Jets. He had a nice pass or two last week against the Cowboys, and the rest has been pretty horrible.
Terrible. And you know that locker room. Ooh. I do not even want to be close. That locker room, I'm sure it's nasty. I'm sure it's nasty. How can you like the guy,
of course
okay?
It is. They have an old, like creepy guy texting his junk to a young lady.
You know,
of course it's nasty.
I got to say, Monty, stop posting the croc pics, okay? We all got the pic, okay?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. Come on now.
He's
slow down.
We got a Jared. We got a Jared Allen pic out there. That's too much... It's like
it's too much nastiness.
It's too much Vikings right today. I know we're playing them, but it's just too much.
Like, Sunday Night Football. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. That sound you hear can only mean one thing. That sight you see. That's the Bedard siren, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Bedard siren for the last time ever as a member of the accredited media covering the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Greg Bedard. How the hell are you tonight?
I was summoned. Cheesehead TV Nation summoned me. I must come.
There
obviously.
You go. You gotta show up. Gotta show up. I'm sure you were glued to the television watching the Yankees, your hated rival.
Oh, almost as much as I was glued to my phone on the trade deadline.
Oh, so you weren't waiting to hear word of the imminent trade of Marion Barber or D'Angelo Williams or Willis McGahee this afternoon?
Yeah, no, I was sleeping.
Perfect.
Much like some people. Yeah, forget it.
No, he was going to go there, but then he didn't go there. Okay, so let's dive right into it. Aaron Rodgers, total regression, partial regression? What the hell is going on there?
I didn't disagree with your post today. I did have time to check it out. Well, I will say that one of the passes, I forget which one it was. I don't know if it was the one where he immediately like took off when he went back, but I know somebody screwed up a route big time on one of those plays. I'm not exactly sure who, but yeah, I don't know. I'm at as much a loss as you guys are at what's going on with this Packers off.
Oh no, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. Oh no. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called live programming. That's called losing your guest what in happened? The middle of the interview. That's called horrificness.
Call him back.
I don't know. Dude, this show is so ramshackle. It's awesome.
Oh, I know why. Sorry, that's my bad. Sorry.
You know what? I hope ESPN is watching right now. Because this is how we roll, people.
Okay, I got him. I'm getting it back. Sorry about that. I'm getting it back, people.
It happens. It's all right. You know what? The spirit of Tom Pelissero presides over
the
scene.
Yeah, I was about to say, we wanted the show to break.
Hello.
Hey, sorry,
that,
Greg.
That was on Corey.
It's okay.
It was on Corey.
That was my bad. Sorry.
Right. So someone ran a bad route, and someone's upset. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, somebody ran a bad route, but I don't think that explains a whole bunch. I will say this. The Packers struggles again this season. Now, if I was back next year, can Packers fans please do me a favor and not put any stock at all into the preseason? Please.
Hey, we've been preaching it, brother.
Every year.
We've been preaching it year after year after year. I hear you.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the offense. I think it's a combination of things. I think that they're just, and I guess it has to do with Grant, but I just think they're lost as far as an identity and what to hang their hat on, and it's just like a little thing here and there. Like I think Tom Silverstein wrote today about the there was like a draw play to Brandon Jackson in overtime. And there was a humongous hole, and Tom Crabtree, if he just sustains his block, it goes for 15 or 20 yards.
Yep.
It's that those little teeny mistakes that just throw things off, and you know, I don't know. Obviously, you guys can guess from my tweets that you know we're back to, and I was like this with Grant last year early on, not enough reps for the running game. You know, those guys need. And the offensive line need snaps as much as anybody in the run game. I mean, you know, people don't really talk about it, but, you know, offensive linemen love to run block. Maybe not Chad Clifton.
Yeah, I was about to say, except for Chad Clifton.
But centers and guards just love it. And it gets them into a rhythm, and it takes a toll on a defense. I mean, look, McCarthy's calling 75% passes. I mean, if you're a defensive coordinator, why would you even worry about the run? They run once every four plays, pretty much. So, you know, I don't know. They need to get back to that short passing game, a few more runs. And I don't – obviously, they're not too far away. They're still very talented. But, yeah, they're at a crossroads again. It's like every year they come to this, and we'll have to see what happens on Sunday night.
Can you share with us what happened with James Jones – after that interception?
Well, he got his butt chewed out on the sideline big time by Jimmy Robinson. And you know, this is just, you know, a continuation for James Jones. Just, you know, he looks really good in the preseason and training camp, and but when the lights come on in the regular season, there's just something off about him. I don't know whether it's mental toughness or what, but, you know, yeah, that was a tough play on the sideline, and we've seen Jennings have a play like that before, but you can't let the ball be picked off, and that kind of stuff really irritates the coaches. I'm sure it irritates Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jones is back in the doghouse from this point going forward.
Well, I mean, it was apparent. I mean, after that play, you saw his snaps completely reduced, and you saw a whole lot more Nelson.
Yeah.
Talk about the defense for a second. You know, you saw, I don't know if you saw, but Steve Wyche reported today that Matthews expects to give it a go on Sunday. Do you think they, you know, it was absolutely a case of, much like in 2007 when they held Woodson and KGB out, that they absolutely just held Matthews out this week? Maybe he could have given it a go against the Dolphins, but they just held him out knowing they had a huge matchup with the Vikings on Sunday night.
Well, from what I was told, he really wanted to play on Sunday, and they did. They worked him and picked it out before the game. I just don't know why they even wasted their time. I mean, if they were going to – it was pretty much the mindset, like you're talking about, that they were going to hold him out and pick it out and rest them for, you know, Vikings. I don't even know why they tried it. I mean, what – just give him more rest and make sure he's 100%, because obviously this hamstring is becoming a chronic issue, and I think it's gonna be an issue for the rest of his career, unfortunately. So they need to take care of it. They need to take care of him. It doesn't surprise me what Steve reported. I mean, that's the feeling that you're getting, is that, yeah, he's going to play on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see with Pickett. I saw him in the locker room the other day. He wasn't limping quite as badly anymore. So, yeah, they could use all those guys. It's a huge game on Sunday night.
What hat are you wearing? It is the number one question on the live blog at the moment.
It's University of Washington. I picked it up when they played Seattle out there in the preseason, and I went for spent the day walking around the campus, gorgeous campus, and I try to pick up a little souvenir.
Dude, you're becoming wildy on us. Just knock it off with this West Coast stuff. All right. All right. Now,
it's for West to Pier, actually.
Oh, there you go. West to Pier. Very nice. There you go.
Say goodbye to West to Pier, Greg Bedard.
So that's an answer I will accept.
There you go.
Very good. Okay. Turning back to the Packers for a moment.
The Packers?
Yeah, who are they?
Are we talking about the Patriots now?
No.
Oh,
not
yet.
Not for a week. Not for a week. Brian Bulaga. What are your thoughts on his play? I was initially very down on it, and then I went back and watched the game. I actually thought he did a lot better than I thought watching it live. Do you share that opinion, or what did you think there?
Absolutely. I mean, he got trucked that one time by Wake, but the other ones weren't really on him. He had Rodgers running into sacks and panicking. I thought he did a pretty good job, and he gives them some movement in the running game. I like him out there, and I think Chad Clifton, like McGinn wrote today in his review, Clifton's been playing really well the past couple weeks. I'll be interested to see what happens with Jared Allen on Sunday night, because Jared Allen's been invisible so far this year, and you'd hate for him to all of a sudden wake up against the Packers. But I don't know. I think the way Clifton's playing, I think he should be able to shut him down. But Ray Edwards is a talented guy over on the other side, and I'll be interested to see how Bulaga does against him.
And what do you think? You talked about it a little earlier on the show about Mike Neal. You know, I know he's been injured the last couple. He's been injured last week, and you know, now it would seem he's got kind of a bit of an injury bug going on. Was he a guy who was injured a lot in college, or is this kind of like a new thing for him?
This is a new thing. He I don't think he missed a practice in college. At least that's what the Packers coach said, and Neal confirmed that. He hates missing practice, and you know, it's just a new thing for him. But I'll tell you what, it's a very and I think Tom Silverstein's going to do something on this at some point. I was meaning to. I just ran out of time. But if you look at – and I don't know what the reason is, if it's just plain old bad luck, But if you look at the injury history of Ted Thompson's draft picks here, it's terrible. I mean, it really is. Jeremy Thompson and was it Terrence Murphy? I mean, I get those are just bad luck, but
yeah.
Both of them, like Thompson knew that Jeremy said that all the teams knew that he had some sort of stenosis when he was going through the testing at the combine. But if you look through it and you go through Ted Thompson's drafts here, it's the number of games lost. I know entering the season, and I think Football Outsiders made a note about it, and they sent me the data on it. But I think Green Bay under Ted Thompson, his draft picks had the third most games lost to injury in the league. And that doesn't even include Terrence Murphy. Like, they cut it off once he retired.
Right.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's bad luck or what. I would imagine that's what it is, but I ain't. You know, Justin Harrell, that was a guy who was beat up all during college. It was almost like, you know, from McGinn's column, it was almost like a panic pick for them. Ted just should have traded out and done something there. But
where else are we going to talk about Ted Thompson? Okay, last week, Greg, this man right here did not want to talk about Ted Thompson. It's not nothing about Ted Thompson. I love this. Greg Bedard comes on the show, and we get some knowledge bombs dropped.
Okay, here's my thing about Ted Thompson. I don't want to talk about Ted Thompson in the context of that's why we lost the game, all right? We don't lose a game to Miami or to the Redskins because of Ted Thompson.
Exactly.
We lose a game to those teams because of Mike McCarthy
or
the players on the
field. But when Chad Clifton misses...
That's not on Ted Thompson.
In overtime?
That's
yes, it is, because he's a dinosaur. He shouldn't even be in the game.
Oh, Dad, you need to step in. I don't know.
What are we going to do without Greg Bedard? That's me venting, okay?
Yeah, I think we're just upset.
I don't know what to do.
It's all right.
Okay?
It's all right. We can say. So, Greg, is there someone in the Packer beat writer fiefdom that you think... should take your mantle here at Packer Transplants? Or should they fight it out?
I think they should fight it out.
There you go.
That's what I
thought. To the death.
That is the correct answer. All right. Looking at Sunday night, looking at the Vikings, they're 2-3 facing the mighty 3-3
And
Packers.
According to Chip Scoggins, they're going to win the NFC North.
Corey's still upset about that.
I wouldn't discount that.
Whatever.
See?
I'm discounting it. I'm nobody. I'm a homer. I'm discounting it.
So what do you see Sunday night, your last game ever covering the Packers?
I don't know. I'm worried about the Packers at this point.
Yeah, but you're always worried about the Packers. Come on.
Well,
it's true.
I don't think
I did pick them to win the Super Bowl.
You did. Mm. You did. But I can't remember ever going to one article or tweet or blog post during this season from Greg Bedard saying, the Packers are awesome. This is great. This is the best team I ever covered.
The same with McGinn.
I just haven't seen that yet.
And you have to admit that.
There's no reason for you to write that.
Awesome. Packers haven't been awesome.
No, that is very true. So Sunday night, what do you see? All right. What do you see happening?
I think the Packers are going to have a lot of trouble corralling that offense. I just think it's I think Percy Harvin's going to eat them up in the middle. You know, when they got Randy Moss on one side, and I don't know. I mean, Dom Capers, he didn't sniff Brett Favre last year.
That's not true. I want to correct this for the record for everybody here. If you go back and watch the game at Lambeau, there's a 3-play series where Nick Barnett gets his hand on the ball and they almost pick it off because it pops up. And then 2 plays later, they almost get him again and the ball pops up and they almost get another interception. So I just want to dispel that rumor. All right? Because everyone says, well, they didn't get anywhere near Favre. They got near Favre. But then he threw it and Percy Harvin caught the ball and like 3 guys went in the air and he ran for a touchdown. But I'm just saying. They finally got at least close to him. At least once.
I think, you know, on the good side for the Packers, I think this is going to be a shootout. I don't think either defense is going to do a whole lot. I think this could be the game that gets the offense on track as far as Rodgers and the passing game, because I think the Vikings are susceptible there, and you can do some damage against them, and I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see it up and down the field. It's going to be Favre versus Rodgers. Whoever's better at the end of the day, is that team is going to win, and I think this is a big moment for Aaron and the team. If he can stare down Favre and, you know, put that team to, what would they be, 2-4, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if he can come out and play well and have his stuff together, I think it could be a big moment for the Packers and Aaron and kind of turn the season around.
I'm down with that.
I'm down with it.
I'm totally down with that.
I want that to happen so badly you don't even know.
So, Greg, before the game, are we gonna meet up, have a beer in the parking lot there?
Yeah, possibly. When are you guys getting into town? I think I'm gonna drop by the Abbey on Saturday night.
You guys night. No, nice. If you haven't heard, tweet up at the Abbey, which is by the the St. Norbert dorm. I don't know.
Yep.
Kyle's on the live blog. He can tell us.
Yes.
So Greg will be there. I don't get in until Sunday morning, early, but I'll be up drinking heavily probably by noon.
And you're not coming to New York for the Packer Jets game, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wanted to see Lombardi and all that stuff, and I'll have to look at the schedule. Though, I mean, if the Jets have a big Monday night game and the Patriots play on Sunday, then I can take the train down and take in the game and
there you go
and stuff like that. You know, that my new role at the Globe will allow me to do those types of things, and then hopefully, you know, maybe I can even weasel out a visit in training camp next year or something like that.
Nice.
There you go. So what? Talk to us about. We haven't mentioned your new role. I
mean, yeah, a lot of people on the live blog are like, "Greg's going somewhere."
Because we're so bitter about it. But so, what exactly will you be doing for the Boston Globe?
Yeah, Sunday night is my last duty for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Starting Monday, I'm the new lead NFL writer for the Boston Globe. I'll be the senior Patriots reporter. I'll kind of be like, I envision it being sort of like McGinn on the Patriots. But also I'll have the National Sunday Notes column, which is pretty heavily read around the league, and it's a pretty big position. It's actually one that I'm a little nervous about. I mean, this is a big boy job now. Not that I didn't have one before. But,
I was about to say.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about it, but, you know, we'll see. I'll just work like I normally work and you know, hopefully at the end of the day it all works out. But I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a chance for me to go quote unquote home, even though my parents and my brothers don't live there anymore. But I have a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and high school buddies who still live up there. And this is the, you know, the game, this is the team that I grew up. Not the team. I was never a Patriots fan. Sorry, my phone's ringing, so it's kind of distracting. But this is the paper I grew up reading, and made me want to be a sports writer. So at the end of the day, I couldn't really turn that down. Not that I wanted to leave. I was not looking to leave at all. But this was just too good an opportunity right now, and I felt like I had to take it.
If that's Frank Zombo on calling you on your phone... Tell him to piss off. All right.
You know, I you guys know how hard I was on Zombo during training camp, and I still have my doubts about what kind of player he's going to be. But
I have my doubts about Zombo. I have my doubts about Zombo in all aspects of life. All right.
Well, apparently he didn't do our show. Instead, he did your favorite show in Appleton.
I thought he did that last week.
I guess, but Alex pulled up a tweet that I guess he was like, "Thanks for I don't know,
guys,
I don't know."
Yeah, I saw that too.
Well, that's upsetting. It figures, though. It just figures. We're just doing what
there
we
you
do.
Go. You know, we're the largest Packer fan website in the world, so why would you want to come on our site if you play for the Packers?
Oh, that's true.
Bitter party of one.
Bitter party of two, thank you.
Check, please. Oh, man, I'm going to miss me some Greg Bedard.
I know.
Are you kidding?
Sound the siren.
Are you kidding?
For all time's sake.
This is just wrong on so many levels. It's wrong. Okay? It's just wrong.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be – I mean, there have been different points during this where it's been pretty emotional for me. And I know Sunday night after the game it's going to be pretty bad. I mean, this has been everything I thought it would be. when I moved my family up here, and I wanted to stay for longer. I did not want to leave. This De Pere is a great place for me and my family, and I thought I could have stayed here forever. But you know, sometimes you just gotta. You know, sometimes when opportunity calls and sometimes you got to test your limits. You know, you got to see how good you are at the end of the day, no matter where that takes you. So, you know, but you know, I'll see you guys in December. It'll be weird watching the Packers from the other side. I can tell you that. But you know, the good news is Ted Thompson never changes over the roster. So unlike the Dolphins,
you'll know everybody.
I'll know everybody, and I'll be paying attention. And you know, the truth of the matter is. You know, I know some people have been asking me this, and yeah, you know, a small part of me will be, you know, I want to see the Packers do well.
You'll be rooting for the Packers. Yeah. It's all right.
He can't help himself. You can't help yourself.
There's a lot of good people in that locker room. There's a lot of good people in that organization, and I wish them nothing but the best, and I especially wish nothing but happiness for Packers fans, because I know they want that. I know they want. They want that Super Bowl trophy and to enjoy the off season for once without having to hear anything from Vikings or Bears fans.
Amen to that. All right, we've kept you for long enough. Go on with your life, Greg Bedard, late of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, starting on Monday. Greg,
I'm not dead yet.
With a Python reference as he walks out the door. Greg Bedard, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much for Skyping us this evening.
Yes.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Later, Greg.
All the best to you.
We'll see you around. Greg Bedard, ladies and gentlemen, live here on Packer Transplants, because that's how we roll.
Because when beat writers are summoned on Cheesehead TV by the fans faithful, that's what they do.
They show up.
And now what's awesome about Cheesehead, what's awesome about Packer fans on Cheesehead TV is that, well, I'll thank him. It'll probably be as many thank yous as there were telling him he sucks at the beginning.
I hope so. Everyone needs to thank Greg Bedard, not only for coming on tonight, but for his excellent service with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the time he's been covering the Packers. Fantastic job. Always great. Anyway. So, really, is there anything left to say? I mean, is there anything else to talk about regarding Packers matchup with the Vikings on Sunday night?
We have 6 minutes, okay?
We do. It's true.
And I think we need to call a certain person.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have no idea what Corey's about to do, but I'm very excited. I'm right there with all of you. I have no idea what's going on. I see him going to Skype. I hear the
all
call.
Right, let's make this call, because this needs to happen right now.
I have no idea who he's calling.
Hello.
Brian Caribou. That's what I'm talking about. He thought he wasn't going to get on.
He
and we were like,
thought he was like off the hook, but not so fast, Caribou.
We got to talk about special teams. Come on. Francois over the middle. We're not letting that up.
No.
Okay?
No, we're not letting that off the hook. Brian, what the hell was up with that call against Francois?
I'm just as confused as you are. I don't think that was worthy of a penalty. I mean, I mean, he was, even if he was lined up exactly 1 yard off the ball, I mean, is that worthy of a penalty?
No.
I just don't see it. And, I'm blaming the officials for that one.
You and the rest of Packer Nation.
Yeah, that was crap.
Okay, here we go.
That was craptastic.
Okay,
actually.
Here we go. What the hell is up with our punter, Brian? What is up? Guy was supposed to be on this show.
Okay.
But I couldn't have mine.
Okay, if it's overtime and you're kicking to the 50, something is wrong with you.
35 yards, baby.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, just
are you kidding? It's overtime. Don't kick it to the 50. Kick it out of bounds. Do something else.
Okay, here's the thing. For those of you not privy to our private emails, we were talking about having Tim Maste on, and he was going to be on, but then he never got back to me. And then I was like, I emailed Corey and Brian, and I said, you know, it's probably just as well, because I don't know what to ask this guy other than, why do you suck? Like, Lord, Brian, help me. What is up with our punter?
You know, it's no matter who's been the punter since John Ryan, and you're going to get a little bit of this in my weekly column tomorrow morning, but no matter who's been the punter, no, Derek Frost, Jeremy Kapanos, Tim Mastay, they're all the same person, really, I think. Maybe they just put on a wig.
Did I see a stat today? I think, isn't Mastay, like, his numbers are worse than Kapanos at this point?
Oh, my God.
Is that true? Did I read that right?
Yeah, that might have been. Somebody posted that. I can't remember who, but, yeah, I mean, it's like they're, every single one of them was kind of a middle-of-the-road, gross average type of punter, and then, like, it's just been plaguing the Packers for 3 years now that they're like the basement dwellers in net average, which isn't entirely the punter's fault, but it can be.
Man.
Oh, dear.
It's really
just
sad.
Not right. I'm so upset about it.
It's sad. It's just like, sad. It's like, it's just, you know, you get to overtime and everything goes right for you.
Well, other than the fact that you go 3-and-out on offense. But other than that.
But that's my point.
That's why you're punting.
But now you're punting, and you punted to the 50? Why don't you just give them the ball, Tim Mastay? Just give them the ball.
So, Brian, in our last 2 minutes here, what happens on Sunday night, Brian?
No.
What happens on Sunday night?
Oh, hold on, Brian. Okay. Wait. This is the worst show ever, okay? I got to sit here and look at this guy talk about the bike. It's my show, okay? And this guy's going to come on and tell me the Vikings are going to win the NFC North. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with that?
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Okay, Brian. Corey's obviously lost it. What happens Sunday night? What's your prediction? You know what's so funny? You know what's so sad? You know what's so horrible? Is that you called it last week. You called a Packer loss. So please,
I was almost spot on with the score.
Please,
too.
God help us. Tell me the Packers win on Sunday night.
I think they break the Favre curse. And, you know, if it was at Minnesota, I'd probably pick the Vikings to win. But I think the home field does it. And I think it'll be low scoring. It'll be somewhere around, like, 2017 Packers. But, yeah, I see the Packers just getting that Brett Favre jinx off their back, and they're going to be really motivated to beat him, knowing that the Vikings are, you know, on the brink of, you know, extinction if they lose, and the last time they could possibly get Favre at home. So I think that's going to play a large part in the game.
So you think you're calling it right now, Packers win?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you
right
go.
Now I am. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Brian Caravu, live on the line, Packer Transplants, Cheesehead TV staff writer. Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys.
You heard it here. Brian called it last week. Packers lose. He calls it this week. Packers win.
Everybody thinks Brian didn't. Look, Brian deals with me all the time. So Brian is not neither scared of me. No, he puts up with my crap every day, okay?
That guy is
a genius, okay? So let's just say that right now, because people in the live blog are like, I scared Brian. No, Brian is like totally one of the coolest people I know, because he's so even keel, and you got to love him. I'm sorry.
Okay, you know how off the rails this show is? I'm going to play this song, because I can.
Okay, does that mean we're going to the credits now?
Wait, we will in a second. Wait. I want everyone to hear it. Yeah, I've got that on my computer.
We can hear the song.
That's how off the hook this show is. That's what I think of the Vikings winning the NFC North. All right, that's my response to Chip Scoggins saying that the Vikings are going to win the NFC North. Right here.
I just want to apologize. No.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Seriously, I just want
to. We don't serve your kind here.
I want to apologize to Packer fans, okay?
Everywhere. Frank Zombo, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Anybody coming on this show and thinking that somebody can get away with saying the Vikings are going to win the NFC North on this show, I don't even allow people to say the Vikings are cool on the live blog. I mean, Jamie knows that. That's, you can curse, you can do all this stuff. You cannot say that the Bears are good or the Vikings are good.
No, it's just not allowed. This is not how we roll. I just love it. The show is officially off the rails. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. That'll do it for tonight's episode of Packer Transplants. Big thanks to Chip Scoggins for joining us. No thanks to Frank Zombo. Big thanks to Monty McMahon from Total Packers for joining us on the live blog. Speaking of the live blog, thanks, as always, to Brian Caravu and Alex Talish and Dale Z for dropping by.
Dale Z.
Special thanks this week to Al Bracco for helping me with the questions for Frank Zombo, which I never had to ask. And, of course, as always, help to Holly Phelps. Thanks to Holly Phelps, Jamie Joyers, and the rest of the crew. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience that can't be found anywhere else on the internet. We'll see you next week with, supposedly, Packer linebacker Brad Jones joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week.